I'd like to introduce first the speaker, Ashley D. from the Life After Death Group of NA in the South Hills area of NA.
Hi, I'm Ashley, I'm an addict. I thought I still had like 6 more readings. Anyway, yeah, so sorry, to get me back on center, can we reopen this again with a serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm so nervous now. I wasn't nervous the entire ride up here, and now I feel like my heart's going to jump out of my chest, but... And I was just thinking, about my first sponsor, the first time I ever had to give a lead. And I was like, telling her, I was like, you know, I just don't think I have anything to offer. It's going to be awful. Everybody's going to hate it. They're going to walk out. They're going to boo. And she's like, you know, Ashley, I've been coming around for a long time. And she's like, you know, either there's 2 things that could happen. Either you're going to get up there and everybody's going to love it and somebody's going to get something out of it. Or you're going to suck. And she's like, but you're going to walk away from it and you're going to stay clean. So this could go either way, just to let you know. But I hope, you know, I'm not the only person that gets something out of this. But, you know, I'll qualify because I think that's important for the newcomer. But to be honest with you, I don't talk a lot about using because... I didn't use for very long. You know, I'm coming up, God willing, I'm coming up on 7 years clean in October, and I've been clean longer than I used for, so there's not a whole lot to talk about. But, you know, I grew up, I'm from, like they said, the South Hills of Pittsburgh. Wow, he's really angry with me. My family was completely dysfunctional, and I thought I was so alone. Like, I thought I was the only person in the world that had this type of family. And then, like, I came to NA and found out, like, everybody's family's dysfunctional. And, but it was just, you know, both my parents were addicts when I was 7 years old. My dad died of cocaine overdose in front of me while I was on the phone with 911. My mom, you know, it's one of those concepts I always had a really hard time with was, like, unconditional love, because I just didn't get it, and because then when I was 9, I came home, and my mom wouldn't let me in the house. She told me I didn't live there anymore, and so the 2 people that were supposed to love me more than anything in the world, you know, in my eyes, they didn't, and I didn't understand, because, you know, at the time, I had no concept of this disease, and I thought it was a choice. I thought my dad made a choice. I thought my mom was making a choice. And I didn't realize that they were caught in the grips of something they couldn't control. And so then I moved in with my sister, took custody of me and my brother. And I hated my parents. I hated them. You know, and there was a part of me that, although I thought it was a choice, I knew that they drank and did drugs. And I didn't want to be anything like them. I just had no desire to be like them at all in any way. And needless to say, at some point, I decided it was a really good idea to pick up the first one. And I hated it. The first time I used, I hated it. The first time I used, I was 12 years old. And I was around a bunch of people that had been using for a little while. And they put this in front of me. And, you know, I was such a 12-year-old badass that I was like, they're like, well, you shouldn't do all of it. And I was like, I can handle it. You know, I weighed 98 pounds, and I did everything they put in front of me, and I felt like I was going to die. Like, I went from being perfectly normal to thinking, like, this is it. I was going to die. Like, I'm riding in this kid's car, and, I was going to count it a successful night if I didn't throw up all over his car. Like, it was going to be a good evening. And I got home, and I, like, made it up the stairs to my bedroom, and I just really thought, like, I hated, like, I hated how I felt. I hated everything about it. And this kid called me the next day and asked me if I wanted to do it again, and I said yes. And that was kind of like this, that's kind of the story of my life. I do things I don't like and I continue on with them. And I just, after that though, I fell in love with it because there was this part of me, like, I was always, I just, like I said before, like, I just always felt different. You know, I just felt like my family was different. I didn't belong. The most, like, when I first got clean, one of the first things I could relate to was somebody shared in a meeting about how they felt like in kindergarten, everybody got handed out a book about life. Like, everybody got this little book, and it told them everything they needed to know about life. And I didn't get mine. Like, I missed that day. And when I heard that in a meeting, that was the first thing, like, hit home with me. Because that's exactly how I felt. I felt like, what? Where the hell is my book at? Like, everybody seems to know how to do life, and I don't. And so when I found drugs, it taught me, I felt like it was teaching me how to do life, but really what it was teaching me how to do was, like, not participate in life. I didn't have to. I just stayed in this little room with my boyfriend, and that was it. And this is just my story, but my story, I progressed rapidly, you know. I went to about 7 or 8 different rehabs in, like, the following years after I first started using. And I loved rehab. I just thought it was, like, fantastic. Like, they fed you, and they were nice to you, and they gave you meds. And, I loved it. Like, it was seriously, like, when I thought about going to, and I consciously made a decision every time to go into rehab. Like, I was never forced. It was like, I felt like I needed a break. I needed some time off. I needed a little vacation. And, so I would go to rehab. And for a long time, the people in rehab didn't even think I needed to be in rehab. I was too young, I was too this, I was too that. And so I'd come out, and I would tell my, well, the counselor said I was too young, so I don't know, we got to go a little while longer. And I moved in with my boyfriend, and we got this apartment, and it was so gross. Like, it was just this, like, little, tiny, gross apartment, and there was one futon in the apartment, and it was, like, everything. It was the bed, it was the couch, like, it was the dining room table, like, it was just everything. It was the only thing in the apartment, and I just thought we were doing big things. Like, big shit was happening now that we had this futon in this apartment, and it was getting to the point when they talk about, you know, the inside stuff, because, to me, in my deranged thinking, it was, like, the outside stuff I thought was getting better towards the end of my using. Like, we were getting an apartment, and we had some furniture. Well, okay, we had a piece of furniture, and I thought that was, like, moving on up. But the inside, like, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I couldn't look at you in the eye. I thought I had these morals and values and these things that I believed in, but I would do anything to get the next one. And I was thinking today, because there was a part of me that didn't want to come up here and speak, and I shared about it in a meeting last week, because there's, you know, a situation going on in my life. And I think when you stay around here, you go through different periods, and I'm going through a period where it's really, some days, at some moments, it's really difficult to look at myself in the mirror. But it's not impossible. I can still do it. But I remember before I got clean, it was impossible for me to look at myself in the mirror. And my last day using, and nobody else thinks this is funny, but I'm going to tell because I think it's funny. So there was a Time magazine in my apartment. I don't know how it found its way in there. I really don't. Like, I don't. I swear to God, like, the cockroaches must have carried it up the stairs, because I don't know how it got in there. But what happened was, me and my boyfriend got into a fight, and I had the drugs. So I locked myself in the bathroom, because I wasn't giving him any. And I woke up the next morning on the bathroom floor. And it was, like, one of those situations, like, I looked at the door, and it was still, like, locked and closed. Like, nobody had attempted to, like, come in and see why I had been in the bathroom for 8 hours. And I felt so alone, you know, and it wasn't like, this situation had occurred before, and I think it talks, like, we hear about those moments of clarity, and it was just, at this, it was like a type of aloneness like I never wanted to feel again. Because what I did know was out there somewhere, there was somebody in my life that at some point would have beaten down that door to see if I was okay. And I had gone down some path where I surrounded myself with people that didn't care. And I came out, and there was this Time magazine. And I looked at it, and it said the average lifespan of the U.S. woman reaches 76. And I was 15 at the time. Is that like torrential downpour? I'm sorry. Okay. Oh my God, I feel really awful. I don't want to like keep talking. Okay, well anyway, I'll try and be quick. And it just hit me like, I couldn't do it. You know, I thought of living to 76, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Like, and when I think about it today, it was this feeling I had, like I couldn't do it. It was not, they talk about desperation in here, and I had, it like hit me in the stomach like, I'd rather die right now at this moment at 15 than live to 76 the way I'm living. And that's when I made the decision to go back to rehab. And like I said, not because I like thought rehab had the answers, but I thought like maybe it was just time for another vacation because I was starting to think a little funny. Like I was starting to think that maybe drugs and alcohol weren't the way to live, and to me that was thinking a little funny. So I decided to go back to rehab, and I had like major plans when I went to rehab. Like I had these big plans that I was going to go into rehab, and everything was going to be better, and I was going to come out in 5 days after I detoxed and start this new way of life. And something else had different plans for me, and they sent me off to Canton, Pennsylvania, and I hope nobody ever has to go there. Because I don't know, if I look, you can't see me. But if you saw me, I'm not like a camping girl. Bugs and mud and animals don't make me really happy. And they sent me to this in Canton, Pennsylvania. And I went to this recovery house. And I thank God every day that I went. Because it was one of those things like, sometimes I don't know how we do what we do in here. Because I wouldn't have made that decision. So I don't know how I ended up there. I don't know how at this point I had the amount of willingness to do what it took because I went. And like this, my first sponsor also, I remember like going there and telling her and about me and stuff, and because she was from this area. And she told me that I suffered from the disease of addictive thinking. And a person that suffers from addictive thinking lacks the ability to make good decisions on their own behalf. Consistently was the key word in there. And I think about that all the time because I do really good. Like, I can make one or two good decisions, but then I need to do, like, four bad ones or I don't feel okay. And this was one of those good decisions I guess I had made. And I went to a meeting, and this is where my whole life changed, because I walked into this meeting, and I walked into a meeting full of men, at least 45 or older. And like I said, I got clean when I was 15. And I've never, ever in my life felt so welcomed and so loved like I did at that meeting. And I just, like, it's so funny how things work out, because if it had been any other meeting with any other group of people, I don't know that I would be standing here today. Because I was looking for any reason not to belong here. And they gave it to me. I walked into a meeting full of people that were absolutely nothing like me. And I had, in my head, that would have been a reason to turn around and walk out the door. But they were so loving and so caring and so understanding that I decided to keep coming back. And the one thing they did, because, you know, I don't know, but out in Pittsburgh, it's kind of like people come in and out all the time. You don't know who's coming and who's going. You don't know who's serious and who's not. And my sponsor tells me all the time that my only responsibility as a productive member of NA is to treat every single newcomer like they're going to be the one that stays here. And because that was what was given to me. Those men in that meeting, with clean time more than I had been alive, treated me like I was going to be a person that got this. And life just got so good. You know what I mean? Like, I started working some steps, and I was calling my sponsor, and come about, like, 6-9 months clean. The drug had been taken away, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm starting to feel this void, and all of a sudden, I wanted to die. Like, clean. I couldn't stand life. Like, I didn't know how to do it. All these feelings, and just simple getting up in the morning, going to bed at night. Like, these were hard things to do for me. And I have to, like, kind of retract a statement. I got in a sponsor, but I hadn't started working the steps. I would call her and complain about things, and I thought that was working the steps. And so I got to this point, and it talks about in our literature, you know, we can't live with or without drugs. And all I knew was, in my heart, I knew that drugs weren't the answer anymore, but I didn't know how to do life without them. And I reached, like, a whole different level of desperation, like, because I really considered, like, I just can't do, maybe I'm one of those people that's just not cut out for life. Maybe that's it. And one of these times, I called my sponsor to complain, and she said, "Ashley, no, why don't you try working the steps?" And I hung up on her. Because the steps weren't for me. They may have been for everybody else, but they were not for me. And once again, I lacked the ability to make good decisions for myself, but somewhere, at some point, something else, I called her back and I decided to start working them. And life did get better. It just got better. Like, I can't explain it. I came home and I got a car and I got a job and I was going to school. And I got a boyfriend. And if you think you're doing really well, get in a relationship or start doing some NA service, and you'll find out how sick you really are. And that's what I did. I got into a relationship, and I started getting involved in service, and there's defects flying everywhere, and I got really complacent. You know, come like 2 or 3 years clean, I had come in here, and I had just soaked up everything that had all the hope and everything that had been offered to me. I just soaked it all up, and now my life has gone so good, and I decided to take a hiatus. And so I took this mini break from NA, and by the grace of something bigger than myself, I didn't pick up. And I think they talk about important, like building a strong foundation, and I built one, you know, and I wasn't around people, places, or things, and I guess the opportunity hadn't have been there. But what happened was I talked about my mom. My mom was an alcoholic, and I walked in here with so much hate for her, so much hate for everybody. And like I said, I didn't understand the concept of this disease. And the beautiful thing about working the steps, if you keep working them long enough, my perspective on the outside world changes. And I came to some level of forgiveness that my mom was just one of us. She was just another person caught in the grips, and was about 2.5-3 years clean. She passed away as a direct result of this disease. And I think, like, I love that saying, more will be revealed, because the longer I stay around here, the more, like I said, my perspective just changes. And for such a long time, I thought I would walk into these rooms and I would take everything you guys had to give me and my life would get better. And that's what this was about. It was about me fulfilling my wildest dreams and doing whatever I wanted to do. And then when my mom dies, I realized that there was something else going on in here. And it took me till 3 years clean to realize that it wasn't all about me. It was about the fact that there are people. It's sad enough that sometimes it's a revolving door around here, that there's people that will come in and out and they can't get this. But there are people out there that will never know this is even here. They will never know that there's a better way of life. They'll never know it. And And my mom was one of those people. You know, she was one of us that wasn't even lucky enough to find out that there might just be another way to live. And for the first time I saw this program as it wasn't just about Ashley and her life. It was about you and your life. It was about coming in here and saying hello to somebody. It was about coming in here and giving somebody a hug, because I had forgotten how much that changed my life. I'd forgotten that it was those hugs from those men at that first meeting, which is why I had 3 years clean in the first place. And so after she passed away, I came back with a whole different perspective on what was going on in here. And it just made my life completely different, because it's funny, when I'm not thinking about me all the time, I seem to not have as many problems as when I'm so focused on myself. Life seems to be a little bit easier when I'm not constantly thinking about all the shit that's going wrong in my own life. And I started to see the miracles that happen in here. Like, I had missed it. For 3 years, I had only seen the tangible stuff this program had to offer. Like, and when I came back, I started to see, like, because I hate, like, corny things. They just really irk me. And my first sponsor always used to say, and I used to, oh my God, she used to share in meetings, and I used to get secondary embarrassment. I'd, like, sit in the corner and cover my eyes. And she used to say, you know, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm in the business of saving lives. And I was so embarrassed. Like, I was like, that is not my sponsor. And I can tell you today that I believe when we come to meetings and we share honestly and we help somebody and we give somebody a hug that walks through the door and we just smile in somebody's direction, that we are in the business of saving lives here. And if you don't believe it, that's okay. I didn't believe it for 3 years. But if you keep coming back, you know, that's what's been revealed to me. You know, and it's just, I didn't see that hope that we have to offer to somebody else. And, you know, so, since then, so many things have just changed. You know, I got the opportunity at one point in my recovery to go to London. And I was there for 5 months. And I got off the plane. I was coming up on 5 years clean. And I got off the plane. And then it hit me, like, what the fuck are you doing? Excuse my language. Like, it seemed like such a good idea until I got there. And then I was like, you don't know anybody. And what are you doing? And I went to a meeting. And I said, hi, my name's Ashley. I'm an addict. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And you probably don't even know where that is. And afterwards, everybody's like, oh, the Steelers. I was like, yeah, that's it. And and I reached out my hand and I asked for help, and I've got in it. You know, they took me out to meetings, and they reminded me of something else, like I said, that I lose sight of. You know, I lose sight of the newcomer being the most important person at the meeting. Because, like I said, in Pittsburgh, there's so many people. All the time, just coming in and out. You walk into a meeting, there's 80 people there. And in London, it's weird because there's 7.2 million people in the city of London. And their biggest meeting has about 50 people in it. And they notice. They notice when somebody's missing, you know, and they track that person down. It's like bounty hunter. Like, they are going into pubs. They are blowing up cell phones. They're calling your mother, your brother, your wife. Like, they want to know where you're at. And, it just reminded me, you know, because when I came back home, like, no, I may not notice. I'm a human being, and I walk into a meeting, and sometimes I'm so self-obsessed, I'm, like, walking to the bathroom, and the whole time I'm thinking, please don't fall, please don't fall, please don't fall. Meanwhile, I walk past a girl that can't get 24 hours clean that's bawling her eyes out, and I don't even see her. And I'm a human, and that happens. But I do remember that. I try to remember, you know what I mean? Like, that was the bigger picture. Like, it's not, I try to remember on a daily basis that it's not all about me. And that the hope that we have to offer in this, because like I said, I think, you know, I put myself on pedestals for a lot of years. You know, I came around, I was like I thought I was the NA God. Nobody else did, I don't think. But I put myself up on this pedestal and I fell. And I always fall. We always fall because we're human. And that's okay. But what this program taught me is that no matter what is going on, if I'm not picking up the first one, we have something to offer to somebody that can't stop using. We have something to offer to the person that doesn't think that they can do this, because I may fall short and I may suck as a human being and I may act out on every character defect I have and I may not call my sponsor, I may miss my home group. But I have something to offer to that person when I walk into a meeting that just doesn't think that they can get this. Because at any given moment I may be struggling, but I know I can get this. I know today that I don't have to use anymore. I know today that with the help of the people in this fellowship and the steps and going to a meeting and sharing honestly, that I don't have to pick up. And there's somebody, the most important person in this area right now, tonight, is the person that doesn't believe that. Because there's somebody sitting here right now that does not believe that they can do this. And it's my job that no matter what is going on in my life, to let that person know that you can. And, by the grace of God, I've been able to come in here and fall short and fall on my face and have people around me that love me and care about me enough to help me put it back together. To help, you know, there's times that I don't want to walk into a meeting. There's times that I've done something, and it's never as bad as, like, you know, because I'm such an egomaniac, and I think everything's the end of the world, and everybody knows about it, and it was, like, on the front of the NA Gazette, and everybody was talking about it. And so I don't want to walk into a meeting, and sometimes all I need is for somebody to walk up to me and give me a hug and say, "Hi, how are you doing?" And I walk into the meeting, and I get the day clean. You know, I got clean young, and I'm still young, and I don't know a lot. And I know that's important here. It's important to remain teachable. But I know this. I know that just for today, you know, I will have faith in somebody in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. And I'm standing here today because somebody had faith in me and believed in me and wanted to help me in my recovery. And I have to be that to somebody else. You know, I have to be that person, no matter what else, no matter how much I don't think I have something to offer, or how unspiritual I think I may be being. I have to be here to have faith in somebody, because that's how I got here, you know. And, you know, I suck at a lot of things. I suck at finances. I suck at relationships. I'm really bad at service because I'm like a Nazi. You know, but I believe in certain things, you know. I believe that this program works. I believe that it's the people in this program that make it work. I believe that every single person sitting in this room has something to offer. You know, and I believe that today I don't have to use, no matter what happens. I don't have to use. And to me that's what this fellowship is about. You know, the promise. And the message being hope, and the promise being freedom. And everything else is like bonus. You know, I work the steps, and I call my sponsor, and I had to change. I'm not the same person I was. Trust me, I just hope that if I was the same person I walked in 7 years ago, that these people would not have called and asked me to speak. I hope. Otherwise, we may have to check out what kind of program they're working. But, you know, I love this fellowship. You know, and I love it because it, like I said, it's the only place. Like, I can be so beaten, so broken down, and so full of, like, self-defeat. And the people in here won't let me do it. You won't let me quit. You know, and that's what this is about for me. Like, I'm not going to let anybody quit. And that's, you know, my sponsor tells me when I call her, and I'm all, you know, up in a hizzy about God knows what, and she's like, "You know, Ash, you're not quitting. Not today. Because I'll carry you to the other side if I have to." And I don't know. I think I've said, I don't know if anybody got anything. I can't remember what I said. But if you're new, like, please just keep coming back. Like, it changes. Everything passes. You know, everything. I promise you, you will not feel the way you're feeling. Probably in 25 minutes when you're out of the rain, you won't feel the way you're feeling right now. And if you're new here, please stay here. Because there's people coming through the door that need you. And I don't know, just for today, you know, I don't have to use. And that's all I got. Thanks.
We have the reading of Just for the Dead at the podium, please.
Thanks for Adam and Addict. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today. Through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today.
Thanks. Since it's so dark out here, I guess we're going to... We'll just close from where we're sitting and with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer. But first, we have another hand for Ashley. Okay. Let's have that moment now, I guess. God, in serenity, accept the things that cannot change. Courage change the things we can. Wisdom knows the difference. So go back. All right. No one please get hurt. You're not responsible. We're not responsible. What's up, Phil? I don't know if we're still... Are we still taping?
I need to turn it off.